Hello and welcome to episode 46 of the Creating Happy Writers podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Steph Caswell. I am your host. If you're somebody who's been listening for a long time now, thank you so much for your continued support. If it's your first time, then I hope you enjoy this episode and thank you so much for joining the Happy Writers community. If you don't know much about me, I'm a multi-published author and I'm a writing coach, and I'm on a mission to take the overwhelm, confusion and frustration out of the writing process and also to help you achieve your writing goals. I am also all about more female writers stepping into their space and showcasing their wonderful expertise, because there's so much space for all of us, and also we really need to step up and start showing more female voice in the non-fiction book world, which has been terribly dominated by men. So let's get more women out there sharing their expertise, and if you are one of them, then I'm excited for you. Even if you're right at the beginning of your journey, or you're even just thinking about writing a book, then yes, I'm excited for you. If you want to get more support from me, you can head on over to Substack and subscribe to my free weekly newsletter, which is called The Write Stuff. It's all about publishing and writing. You can find it at stephcaswell.substack.com. If you haven't got a copy of my book Dare to Write yet, you can buy that on my website. It's for you if you are on the non-fiction writing journey, you have an initial idea, you now want some help with how to get it out and into something that remotely looks like a book. So you can find that at stephcaswell.com/shop, and you can also find it on Amazon. Finally, if you are ready to write your book and you want to learn the three fundamental pillars to writing a great nonfiction book, then come and join Foundations, which is my 8-week group program. It teaches you the three foundations: confidence in your concept, certainty as to who your ideal reader is, and clarity on your structure. When you've got these three foundational pillars in place, so much easier to write the book. So if it sounds like something you would love to be part of, the May cohort waiting list is now open. So go and check it out at stephcaswell.com/foundations, and all the links are in the show notes. Right, let's dive in with today's episode, where I'm actually going to tell you a little bit more about these three foundational pillars so you can really understand how important they are to get right. Now, let me start by saying that the foundations analogy is there for a reason. It might be a little bit cliche, and I'm okay with that, but it's there because I truly believe that to have a strong, solid nonfiction book that readers enjoy, that they recommend, and that sells well, you need strong foundations in place, a bit like, yes, you guessed it, a house. You want your house to have foundations, and not just any old foundation, but a nice strong and sturdy foundation. Otherwise, it's likely to collapse. And that's the same for writing. If you can get these three pillars that I'm going to share with you in place, you will find that the writing process is easier, more enjoyable, and there's a simplicity to it that there wasn't maybe there beforehand. And I just think the analogy of a foundation is just so helpful when it comes to this sort of thing. And the three pillars, like I said in the introduction, are about your idea or your concept and getting really, really clear on that. It's also knowing exactly who your ideal reader is. And then the third pillar is your structure and getting something solid in place that works for you, the writer, but also works for the reader. I have found through experience of working with the authors that I have had the privilege to work with over the last couple of years that if one of these foundations isn't fully in place, or it's a little bit wobbly, cracked, shall we say, if we're going to continue with the house analogy, then the book is harder to write, yes, but it just feels like there's just something just slightly off when you're reading it or you're writing it. And I think that if you can get these three foundational pillars in place, then you will feel as though the book is exactly what you want it to be, and the reader is going to get exactly what you want them to get out of reading it. So let's crack on with each of the pillars in turn. So the first pillar is your concept or idea. And sometimes we can, as writers, worry about the topic that we are writing about. We want to make sure we fall into the trap, should I say, of wanting to write something that's going to be helpful for as many people as possible. And while that's a good sentiment to have, it actually makes writing a little trickier. And I'm going to give you a really good example of this from my own writing experience. So when I wrote my first book for teachers, which was called Keeping Bums in Seats, I found that I wanted to try and address all the things that teachers were going to come across in their first year of teaching. And I wanted to put all of that into a book. So I started writing said book, and I had each of the chapters on the various parts of being a teacher, especially being a teacher in your first year. And it covered things like behaviour management, it covered things like time management, it covered how to cope with parents, how to cope with children who may have additional needs. It also was how to pass your year, with success. And I found every time I tried to write it, it was really a case of me not being able to do any of those topics real justice. I was almost skimming the surface of each of them because I only had a chapter to play with. And when you're trying to cram in all your knowledge on behaviour management, for example, into just one chapter, which might be, 3,000 or 4,000 words, that's actually not a lot of words to be able to do that justice. And I started the book several times and was really frustrated because I just thought, every time I got into any kind of detail, I was like, oh, now this chapter's enormous and I feel like I'm having to really rein back on what I want to say. And it actually made the process frustrating. And what I came to realize is I needed to change tact and I needed to do each of these chapters as separate books. Now, that might sound a little bit crazy when you think about it, but when you really unpick that, my book, Keeping Bums in Seats, which was my first book, was about behaviour management. And it is still the best-selling book I've ever written because I was able to go into a lot more detail. I was able to give a lot more strategies, a lot more of the psychology behind why children behave the way they do and why things like boundaries are so important for children and also for you, the teacher. So I started that book several times and it was only when I came to that realization that I actually needed to take some of these big chapters and just turn them into a series. And I did. So the first one is about behavior management. The second one is called Keeping It Sweet, which is about how to work with adults in schools. So like your teaching assistant, the Senko, other people that you might meet in your first year, other professionals, etc. And then the third one is about inclusion and how to manage the needs of some of the children in your class. So I used to be a Senko, a special educational needs coordinator, and I realized I had a lot to say about how we could be more inclusive for children in the mainstream sector. So one book became three. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to realize that if we're too broad, we don't do our topics justice, we don't give them due diligence, and the people that are reading them will feel like they've got a little bit of information but nothing that's transformative, nothing that's going to really help them in the long run. So you can easily fall into the trap of being too broad with your niche topic, and some people worry that if they're too niche that it means it's going to attract less people. But actually, I would always encourage you to try and niche down as much as you can. And the way you can think about this is when somebody is googling whatever your book is going to be helping them with, they're not going to type in something that's really generic, because when we type stuff into search engines or into AI for that matter, we always try and be as specific as possible because then we'll get the more specific answers we need, right? So it's the same with the book. If you can get niching right down, it can really help you actually go into much more detail and really unpick the topic and give loads of kind of the theory stuff you might want to talk about, but also the practical strategies that your reader can do to really help with the transformation they're seeking. The second part of this around concept and idea is the marketability of your book. And if you are going down the traditional route, traditional publishers will be looking at this in great detail. They want a book that's going to sell. And even if you're independently publishing, if you're self-publishing, you want a book that sells too, right? We wouldn't write the book just to sort of say, well, look, I've written a book and I'm never going to ever sell any of them. And well, maybe some people are like that, but I don't think people that are like you wanting to write a book and then never sell a copy. So let's get real, let's think about the marketability of your book. Is it something that the market wants? Now, you can, and this is often the case, go into bookshops and think to yourself, oh my God, there are so many books on my topic. How can I even stand out? And that's a very common issue that people come up with. People will talk to me about, is my market saturated? And my answer to that is no. If there is a topic that has plenty of books in it, it means there's demand. If publishers are publishing in a particular niche, it means there's a demand for it. Otherwise, they wouldn't publish in it. They wouldn't risk it. So take comfort from the fact that there's a wide variety of books in your niche. And also remember that there's not a book that's been written by you in your niche. And that's super important to remember too, because people read from authors they feel a connection to, authors that they feel have got a slightly different view on things. And if you can really show that in your book, then people will read it despite what the topic is, because they want to hear your message, your strategy, strategies, your experience, your stories, and that's what makes the book stand out. And finally, with this concept thing, let's get real in terms of how is this book going to leverage your business? How is it going to promote you as a thought leader, as an expert in your field? How are you going to use it in a way that's going to build your brand, build who you are? And don't go into writing a book because people have told you you should. Don't write about a topic because people have told you you should. Now, this doesn't happen very often, but it can happen. And I've been on calls with authors before who've said to me, oh, people keep telling me I should write a book. And oh, you know, I've not really ever thought about writing before, but I guess maybe I should. And if I'm honest, you know, that's not a good enough reason to write a book. You have to want to write it for yourself. And if that isn't the case, then it's okay not to write it. It's okay to either not write a book at all or just write a book that is maybe something that you want to write about. And the thing I would say, and this is what I say to everyone I work with, is what's the book going to do for you and your business? How is it going to channel people into your system? Now, that sounds quite clinical, and I'm not a fan of clinical sales funnel type talk, but we have to be realistic, don't we? You're putting time and effort into writing this book, so it has to leverage your business. It has to help you grow. So let's be strategic about it, and let's write about stuff that you want to work with people on rather than writing it for the sake of it or because someone told you you should. So pick a niche topic, pick an idea that is going to, in the long run, get more people into your audience, get more people warmed up to working with you, be it in a group program or one-to-one or however you want your business to look. And a book is a great way of doing that. So let's get really strategic with this idea as well. Okay, pillar two, your ideal reader. Now, I've done a whole episode on the ideal reader. I think it was well within the first 5 episodes of the whole podcast. So if you haven't listened, go right back to the beginning. And there is one about your reader journey. It is something that I could spend a whole day doing in a workshop. So I can't do it complete justice in a small podcast episode, but I'll give you sort of the things that you need to think about. You might already know who your ideal reader is. You might assume it's your ideal client. And quite often they will overlap. But it's worth doing the ideal reader work because you are then really focused when you're writing. You're writing to one person, you are talking to them, you are giving them examples that are relevant to them, you're giving them strategies that they are actually looking for. If we try, like the niche topic, if we try and speak to everyone, we end up speaking to no one. And if you've been in business a long time, you'll have heard that, particularly if you've worked with a copywriter, because copywriters are very clear on that, being one myself, I know. So if we are speaking to somebody in your audience, and if you are wanting to attract more people to work with you, then you need to make sure that your ideal reader is that person. Don't try and speak to anyone, because then anyone is going to get in touch and they're not going to be the right person. So let's just get that out the way first. And yes, take the time to do some sort of ideal reader avatar work. Think about who the person is. And it could be, and I've definitely done this myself, is to think about a client you've worked with. Who was your dream client? Who was the person that you think, if I could just work with this person, every single time I have a client call, they would be the person that I want to work with. And I know exactly in my head who that client is for me. So when I'm writing, I have her in my head because she's the person I want to attract into my business to work with me. And if I can write to that person, then oh my gosh, that makes it more likely that that person will jump on a call with me and find out how to work with me rather than inviting anyone who's thinking of writing a book. So let's just be strategic again around ideal reader. It's all too tempting when we think about ideal reader work to think about demographics. And people will say to you, oh, you know, what are the demographics of the people you work with, your clients? Yes, it's important to know these things, but let's not overdo it with the demographic stuff. We need to dwell on the psychographic side, okay? And the psychographic side is the psychology behind why your reader is looking for your book. And that's where the gold is, because we buy with emotion and justify with logic. So if you can speak to your readers' challenges that they're facing, the emotions they're feeling when they pick up your book, then they are more likely to A, buy it, but also B, read the thing. When we pick up a business book or a nonfiction book, it's because we have a problem we're looking for help with. And it might not be a really pressing problem, but it might be something that we're just sort of like, this is something that crops up for me. And I'll give you an example. I went into Waterstones the other day and I saw a Seth Godin book, and I think it was This Is Marketing. And I have been meaning to pick that up for ages. And I love learning about marketing, and I love kind of helping myself get better at it for my business. Seth is so good around marketing, and he's so interesting to read and to listen to. And I thought, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to get that, because it's still something I really want to get my head around storytelling and et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, picked it up because that is a skill that I still feel I need to improve. And that's why I reached for the book. And it's not an emotion that's like, you know, causing me to stay awake at night. That's not to say your book can't be for that person, but it's also something that I feel I'm lacking, and it's something that I want to get better at, and we need to speak to those people. Okay, and finally, pillar number three, which is structure. Now, this is the pillar that I would say most authors I work with fall down on, they're struggling with. Perhaps they've started their book, they're halfway through, they're three quarters of the way through, and now they're absolutely cannot go any further. They just don't know where to go with it. They're stuck. They're just frustrated. They're like, how do I get the book over the finish line? And it's frustrating. And often it might be because they haven't got a structure in place to start with. They've just written without thinking, right, how am I going to structure this? What's going to be in each chapter? What stories am I going to be telling? What examples am I going to be giving? What strategies am I going to be sharing? And if we haven't done that work, then this is the pillar that causes the most problems. It makes your book the most shaky when it comes to that foundation analogy. So structure, again, I could run a whole day, and I will be in London very soon, on structure, because it's just the most important thing. Before you write a single word, I believe knowing your structure will make the writing process easier. There are some stats around the number of people who start writing a book and the number of people that end up publishing it. Of the 97% of people who start writing a book, only 3% finish it, and only 0.06% actually publish it. Now, those statistics are crazy. And I think that actually, if some of those 97% who start have a structure in place, then they would be more likely to be, that 3% number would increase, and that 0.06% number would certainly increase. So let's get structure absolutely nailed. And we are competing, don't forget, with screens, with cat videos, with TikTok, with Instagram, with the news sites, with alerts, notifications, WhatsApp, right? We are trying to get into the heads of people whose heads are already full. And let's not underestimate the amount of people, and I don't know the statistic off the top of my head, but I have looked it up before, who start a book and actually finish it. And it's a very low number, sadly. Lots of people have the best intentions. They'll pick up a book and they'll start, and then it's just, oh, maybe they carry on for a bit, and then it's sort of about halfway through, it peters off, right? So we want our books to be structured in such a compelling and exciting way that they can't help but get to the end. And with nonfiction, that is hard, because we're missing, unlike novels and fiction, there's not that real plot twist and the characters and all that. If we can bring more story into the structure, there's more likely that they'll make it to the end. But we have to be clear on our structure so that we are giving our readers the most opportunity to finish your book. So I invite you to think about the books that you have finished recently, the books you've read that have stuck with you, that have stayed with you, that have given the most impact to you. And I'm going to reference a book that's very old now by Jack Canfield called The Success Principles. And it is a book that had a very profound impact on me in terms of my personal development, because I read it at a point where I was seeking support, help. I was in a job I didn't want to be in anymore, and I didn't know what the hell to do. And I was really reaching out for something that was going to give me an approach. And I found The Success Principles really, really, at the time, and I have gone back to it several times since, really helpful, because it gave me these really key things that I needed to focus on in life. And it stuck with me because of that. And I think we underestimate the power that a great book can do, at the power it can hold over somebody and stick with them. And there are books that I go back to time and time again because they're structured in a way and written in a way that spoke to me at a time when I really needed it. And I know that if I want to kick up the bum, I'll read Jen Sincero, You Are a Badass. I'll read Mel Robbins, obviously, because I'm a super fan. So I'll read either The High Five Habit or The 5 Second Rule. If I want something that's slightly more kind of less do the stuff step and stop being lazy, if I want less of that and I want somebody who's compassionate, and not saying Mel and Jen aren't compassionate, of course they are, but if it's something where I really want a softer approach, I might go for Brené Brown. If it's something where I'm like, yeah, I want some business stuff, I want something that where someone's telling me some really good business advice. I read Stephen Bartlett's Diary of a CEO last year, which I thought was brilliantly put together. So it's about thinking. I invite you now, think, what was the last book that really stuck with you, that you recommended to loads of people, that you finished quickly, that you sort of raced through because you just wanted to keep reading it? Those are the books that we're aspiring to write as authors. So the structure of them is super important. So why not go back and look, what was it about the structure of those books that spoke to you, that really resonated and wanted to give you that motivation, support you needed, whatever the reason was you picked it up? That's what we're aiming for. And it's really good to look at what the bestsellers are doing well. So I hope that's given you a flavour of the three pillars to nonfiction. I work with people on this all the time. So if you are struggling with the concept or idea or your ideal reader or the structure, you are not alone. Please believe me. Don't think there's something wrong with you because you can't work out these three pillars. It is so common for new authors, aspiring writers, whatever you want to call yourself, that it's so common for this to be an issue. So I hope this has given you, if you can really get to grips with these three pillars, you will be on a, you will find the writing process to be so much easier and enjoyable, and your reader will get so much joy out of reading it. And don't forget, this is what I cover in Foundations. So we go through this over the 8 weeks and we map out all of these things for you, for your book as a group. And we talk about this in so much more detail and I give you loads of resources to help you. So if that is of interest to you, then do join up for the waiting list for the May cohort. Or if you want to work one-to-one with me on this, absolutely, let's do that. Just reach out and I'm more than happy to help you get your book out there and get these pillars super strong so that foundations of your book are exactly where you want them to be. Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone else who'd enjoy this episode, do forward it on to them. Do share it in your network. Hopefully you'll find other people who are as interested in as you are and as interested as I am. If you haven't left a review yet, I would be delighted if you could leave one on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this, because it just means more and more people are going to understand how this podcast can help them with their writing journey. If you want to connect, find me on Instagram at Steph Caswell Author or on LinkedIn, and let's chat. Let's talk about your book and let's talk about these pillars. But until next time, happy writing.